Well, we are at the end of the fruit of the Spirit. And remember, there's 9 of them, and the last one that's listed is self-control. So we're going to finish that up this morning, and don't pay any attention to what Paul said about me having self-control, because I needed to speak to him. That's hogwash, as I would tell my grandson. Well, you know, whatever the Spirit says to you this morning. So let's start by reading the scripture that we've been looking at from Galatians 5, verses 16 through 25 this morning. He says, "So I say, let the Holy Spirit guide your lives. Then you won't be doing what your sinful nature craves. The sinful nature wants to do evil, which is just the opposite of what the Spirit wants. And the Spirit gives us desires that are the opposite of what the sinful nature desires. These two forces are constantly fighting each other, so you are not free to carry out your good intentions. But when you are directed by the Spirit, you are not under obligation to the law of Moses. When you follow the desires of your sinful nature, the results are very clear: sexual immorality, impurity, lustful pleasures, idolatry, sorcery, hostility, quarreling, jealousy, outburst of anger, selfish ambition, dissension, division, envy, drunkenness, wild parties, and other sins like these. Let me tell you again, as I have before, that anyone living that sort of life will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. There is no law against these things. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have nailed the passions and desires of their sinful nature to his cross and crucified them there. Since we are living by the Spirit, let us follow the Spirit's leading in every part of our lives." Let's pray. Father, we just thank you for who you are. We thank you for your Son Jesus, who you gave to die a gruesome death on the cross and shed his blood for our sins so that we might be forgiven. We thank you that he was raised again on the third day, and that he ascended into heaven, and that he sits at your right hand, ever interceding for us. And Lord, we thank you that you have sent the Holy Spirit into our lives so that we can live the life that you have called us to live. And so, Lord, we ask you now to just send the Holy Spirit to open our eyes and our hearts and to teach us what you want us to know. Lord, have your way in us and in this place this morning. And we ask that you would search this place, and in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, that you would command every foul spirit, anything that is not of you that is in this place, to depart in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we give you thanks and honor and praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, so the last virtue listed here is self-control. And the fact that we need self-control, that it's a fruit of the Spirit, tells us that there is something in us that needs to be controlled, that needs to be bridled. And everybody, I think, here would say, yes, I know that, right? It says in Galatians, the sinful nature wants to do evil, which is just the opposite of what the Spirit wants. And the Spirit gives us desires that are the opposite of what the sinful nature desires. And these two forces are constantly fighting each other. So guess what? You're not alone in this. Every single one of us in this place has a sinful nature in us still. Even if we have been born again and we have been filled with the Holy Spirit, we still have that sinful nature residing in us, Galatians tells us here, that is in opposition to what the Spirit wants us to do. And we all have it. We may not all struggle with the same things, but you can't look at somebody else and say, well, you don't struggle. Because, yes, we all do. We all have that sinful nature. And you know what? I think even non-Christians would agree with this, that it's not good that we need self-control, that it's not good just to let our desires and our wants and our appetites just do whatever they want to do. In fact, I was talking to Jason the other day, and I may have this story all wrong, but this is what I heard. Anyway, he was telling me about a guy that he had talked to, maybe, that in referring to the list of the fruit of the Spirit, he said, well, I have all that, and I'm not a Christian. Well, I have all that. I have love, joy, peace, patience, goodness, kindness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. I have all that, and I'm not a Christian. You know, and it's true when it comes to self-control that some people have more self-control than others, either due to their personality or their upbringing or what they fear or what they believe. But outward self-control is not necessarily a fruit of the Spirit in someone's life, because self-control that is the fruit of the Holy Spirit is just that. It's the Holy Spirit's fruit. So if you've not been born again and filled with the Spirit, you may have a measure of self-control in your life over your desires and your impulses, but it's not the self-control that we're talking about this morning. It's not the self-control that comes as a result of submitting to the Spirit's control in your life. And I think that this is part of our problem with self-control, is that we are trying in our own strength to control our appetites and our desires. And there's a couple of problems with that. First of all, we can't. I mean, how many of you have tried and tried and tried to have self-control in a certain area of your life in your own strength, and you just keep falling flat on your face? It's difficult in our own strength. But another reason is that we don't really know what needs to be controlled in us. And when we start trying to come up with our own self-control and not just following the Holy Spirit, we come up with these very rigid rules and regulations and everything that make us just unhappy people. You know what I'm talking about? If we're just trying to have self-control on our own, we don't even know what it should be. We don't know what should be controlled in us and what it should look like. And that's another reason that we need the fruit of the Spirit that is self-control in our lives, because He's going to lead us into what really needs to be controlled in ourselves. So the word that's translated self-control here literally means the virtue of one who masters his desires and passions, especially sensual ones. And that just means things that have to do with your senses, your what you see, what you hear, what you taste, what you can touch. And so when we think of it that way, we can get kind of a list in our mind of some of the things that the Holy Spirit wants to control in our lives. And so I would just encourage you this morning to think about that one thing that you know is a problem for you, and ask the Lord, as we're talking about this morning, you know, Lord, I need that the Holy Spirit to come and to give me His self-control in this area of my life. I wanted to just give you a list, give you some ideas of what kinds of things we're talking about that the Spirit wants to control in our lives. Certainly sexual, any way that's not ordained by God. He wants us to have self-control over our sexual lives, our sexuality, over our eating, food, overeating, eating unhealthy food, eating in unhealthy ways, not eating enough. It doesn't always have to be overeating. You know, if you read C.S. Lewis' Screwtape Letters, where he's talking about he's got this junior, this senior devil teaching this junior devil how to tempt people. And one of the sins he deals with is gluttony. And he talks about how gluttony, we always think that gluttony is just eating more than you need. But he talks about, no, gluttony means just being real picky about, can mean just being real picky about your food and it never being good enough for you. So in the area of food, in the area of finances, spending money you don't have on things that you don't need. You know, some people just don't have any self-control when it comes to spending. Your speech. We don't think about this a lot, but that's an area of self-control. You have problems with gossiping. You talk too much. You talk when you shouldn't talk. You don't talk when you should talk. You know, that's an area of self-control. Media. This is a huge one in our day. You know, cell phones. You can't put it down. And we all struggle with that. I think we do. I know I do. You know, social media, I don't struggle with this because I just got off of it completely several years ago because it was a struggle. But, you know, people that just scroll constantly, and whether it's Instagram, Facebook, or Reddit or whatever, you're just constantly reading what other people think and what other people, and you have no self-control over that. The television, you can't turn it off. Work. That could be an area where we don't have self-control. We work too much or we work too little. Exercise, that could be an area of self-control. We exercise too much or we don't exercise at all. Sleep, we sleep too much, we sleep too little, or whatever else the Holy Spirit brings to your mind that is an area that He wants to control in your life. So this word that is translated in Galatians 5:23, self-control, is only used three times in the Bible. There are three words in the Bible that are translated self-control. But this particular word that means one who masters his desires and passions, especially sensual ones, is only used three times in the Bible. It's used here in Galatians 5:23. It's used in Acts when Paul is standing before Festus and he's sharing the gospel with him. And it says in Acts 24, verse 25, as he reasoned with them about righteousness and self-control and the coming day of judgment, Felix became frightened and said, go away for now, he replied. When it's more convenient, I'll call for you again. So Felix probably was one of those guys that had a lot of problems in the area of self-control. And when Paul started talking about that and the coming judgment and all of that, he was like, I don't want to hear any more of that. You just go away. And then Peter uses it in 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 4 through 8. He says, and because of his glory and excellence, he has given us great and precious promises. These are the promises that enable you to share his divine nature. In other words, they enable you to be like him and escape the world's corruption caused by human desires. He says, in view of all this, make every effort to respond to God's promises. Supplement your faith with a generous provision of moral excellence. And moral excellence with knowledge, and knowledge with self-control, and self-control with patient endurance, and patient endurance with godliness, and godliness with brotherly affection, and brotherly affection with love for everyone. The more you grow like this, the more productive and useful you will be in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. That sounds very familiar, doesn't it? It sounds a lot like Galatians 5. So from this section, we get point number two, and that is that self-control requires effort on our part, but not the kind we think. And that's important. Self-control requires effort on our part, but not the kind of effort that we think. As I was thinking about this, I thought that in our generation, we have been taught in the church that anything that feels like work is of the flesh. And so we have become lazy in our Christian lives, and thus we have become powerless and defeated because we have been told over and over again, God loves you, it's all about grace, you don't have to do anything, it's grace, 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 and work has nothing to do with it. And let me tell you something, that is a lie. And I know some of you are like, oh my gosh, I can't believe Sandra said that. I'm going to have to get up and walk out of here because now she's preaching works. Y'all just stay with me for a minute, okay? Because yes, the Bible does say that we are saved by grace through faith. But to think that we are not to do anything is not scriptural at all, okay? Stay with me. Self-control is not a work of the law. It's not following a set of rules in our own power. We don't try harder and harder and harder to get our appetites and our desires under control in order to be saved. That is not what I am saying. Because we may get a little bit of success if we make plans, if we make commitments, if we get accountability, if we decide, by golly, I'm going to have self-control if it kills me. But that's not the fruit of the spirit of self-control. Because think about it. If that's our idea of self-control, who gets the glory? If we're able to get those appetites under control, who gets the glory? We do. That's not the fruit of the Spirit. Because when the Holy Spirit is producing fruit in your life, God will get the glory. So that's not the fruit of the Spirit that is self-control. The work that self-control takes on our part is the work of believing Jesus. And it is work, okay? The work that self-control takes on our part is the work of believing Jesus. If you look in John chapter 6, verses 28 and 29, when Jesus was asked, "What must we do the works God requires?" He answered, "The work of God is this, to believe in the one he has sent." The work of God is this, to believe in the one he has sent. And faith is work. Not like you think. It's not a work of the law, but it takes work. It takes effort to believe. To believe is work. And the problem in our generation is that we think faith is just saying, yeah, I believe that. Yeah, what? Oh, I heard that Jesus died on the cross for me to forgive me of my sins so that I don't have to go to hell. Yeah, I believe that. And then we just go our merry way and we don't get to know Jesus anymore. We don't know anything about anything. We just think that's what it means. But that's not what it means. That's not what it means at all. That's why Peter says in the verse that we just saw in 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 4 and 5, he says, "And because of his glory and excellence, he has given us great and precious promises. These are the promises that enable you to share his divine nature and escape the world's corruption caused by human desires." And he says, "In view of all this, make every effort to respond to God's promises." How do we respond to God's promises? By believing them. By believing them. And to believe them, we must know them. Think about it. We exhibit self-control based on what we believe to be true. Have you ever thought about that? Sometimes the motivation is fear. Like, for example, I generally have a pretty good bit of self-control when it comes to eating because I fear that if I eat certain things, I will not feel good. Okay? That's not necessarily fruit of the Spirit. It's just that I'm scared of feeling bad. I don't want to feel bad. I've felt bad too many times, and it's due to food that I eat. Okay? believing that you will be punished severely for certain activities can lead to great self-control in one's behavior. Think about it. When I was a kid in school, and when probably most of y'all were kids in school, there was something called corporal punishment in school. If you misbehaved, you went to the principal's office and she took out this big paddle and you got whipped. It was a great motivator for self-control. Wasn't fruit of the Spirit, self-control. But it was, you had self-control. I can control myself. And think about this. Some people say they can't control their language. But listen to their speech when someone that they care about comes into the room. Because they believe that it matters. They can have self-control when they believe that it matters. Again, the fruit of the Spirit is not something we work to produce. We don't say, I need to have more love, more joy, more peace, so I need to work at it. I'm gonna produce this fruit. Oh, my goodness. You know, it's like, have you ever seen a tree out there, an apple tree, a peach tree, whatever kind of tree, and it's out there and it's just groaning and trying to produce fruit? Oh, well, that's how we act sometimes, right? I'm going to be gentle, I'm going to be loving, I'm going to have joy, I'm going to have peace, I'm going to have self-control if it kills me. That's not the fruit of the Holy Spirit. We produce fruit as we abide in the vine. It is the natural result of walking by the Spirit. So if we want spiritual fruit in our lives, the answer is to walk by the Spirit. So how do we walk by the Spirit? Now that does require what we have become accustomed to thinking of as work, to walk by the Spirit. And a lot of us, anytime we hear that word that I've got to do anything, we just turn it off. But don't turn it off, because let's listen to what the Scripture says in Philippians 2. Verses 12 and 13, it says, Dear friends, you always followed my instructions when I was with you. And now that I am away, it is even more important. Work hard to show the results of your salvation, obeying God with deep reverence and fear. For God is working in you, giving you the desire and the power to do what pleases Him. Or a more familiar translation says, Therefore, my dear friends, as you have always obeyed, not only in my presence, but now much more in my absence, continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. Continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God who works in you to will and to act in order to fulfill His good purpose. We work it out because God is at work in us, giving us the will and the desire to work it out. But it's work. It looks like work. It feels like work. But we're not, God's doing the work. We're just manifesting the work. It's like God told the Israelites in Deuteronomy. He said, don't say that my power and my wealth got me all this great land. He said, because I'm the one that gives you the power to make wealth. It all comes from Him. It all comes from Him. But the Bible tells us that we are to fight for it. So don't shy away from those words. Work, make every effort, fight. In 1 Timothy 6:12, it says, Fight the good fight for the true faith. Hold tightly to the eternal life to which God has called you. The word for fight here, the Greek word is, and if you know Greek, don't laugh at my pronunciation, but it's agonizomai, something like that, which means to struggle and literally to compete for a prize. It means figuratively to contend with an adversary. It means to fight, to labor, to fervently strive. And yes, in that word, in that Greek word, what English word do you hear? agonize. Have you ever agonized in your relationship with the Lord to grab hold of Him, to know Him, to know the power of the Holy Spirit in your life? That's what the Scripture commands us to do, to agonize over it. When Jesus said in Luke 13:24, work hard to enter the narrow door to God's kingdom, for many will try to enter but will fail. It is that same word, agonize. Agonize. Strive. Work hard. So are we saved by grace? Yes. There is nothing, absolutely nothing, we can do to be saved. Jesus paid it all on the cross. Apart from the works of the law, absolutely. But we are saved by grace through faith, and we are told over and over again in Scripture that we are to make every effort. We are to work diligently. We are to fight the good fight of faith. So if we want to see the fruit of self-control in our lives, then it will come by faith in Jesus. And what does that mean? It means that we'll be in His Word daily, that we will be striving to know Him, to hear Him. I'll close with this example. This week, I took my daughter, Anna. She's a school nurse in Gainesville, and they were on spring break. And she said, Mom, will you go somewhere with me? And I said, sure. So we decided we'd go to Charleston and then to Hilton Head. And we were driving home on Friday, and we were listening to this novel, and it was narrated. It was a British novel, and it was narrated by a British woman. And so all weekend long, y'all, I have been having a conversation in my head with a British accent. And I wish that I could say it to y'all the way that I hear it, but I am not good at that at all. But anyway, in the novel, it was about a therapist, and in her therapy session, she would often share this quote by Henry David Thoreau. And it goes like this: happiness is like a butterfly. The more you chase it, the more it will elude you. But if you turn your attention to other things, it will come and sit softly on your shoulder. And so I heard that quote several times listening to the book. And yesterday, as I went by the grocery store and then I was going to come up here to finish working on my message this morning, I started thinking about that, and I started Googling that quote, and I thought, what happens if I say, self-control is like a butterfly. The more you chase it, the more it will elude you. That should be E-L-U-D-E. I don't know why I put elude, A-L-L. Anyway, but if you turn your attention to Jesus, it will come and sit softly on your shoulder. And I think in all of my study and prayer the past few weeks on self-control, that's kind of what I've come down to. Is that, and I guess it's true for all the fruit of the Spirit, is that they're kind of like a butterfly. And if we chase it, if we just keep trying harder and harder and harder in our own flesh to produce these fruit, they will elude us. But if we will turn our attention to Jesus, the fruit will come and sit softly on our shoulder. They will come and they will be manifested in our lives. And so if we want self-control in our lives that is the fruit of the Spirit, we don't strive to eat less, to shop less, to talk less, to be master of our own appetites harder. We don't just strive harder. No, we turn our attention to Jesus, because it was Him who said, there is one thing that is needful. Remember the Mary and Martha story? when Martha was so anxious, trying so hard in her own strength to please everybody and to do everything, and Mary just went and plopped down in front of Jesus and was listening to his word. And Jesus said to Martha, he said, Martha, Martha, you are worried and you are anxious about many things. But there is one thing that is needful. And Mary has chosen the good part, and it shall not be taken away from her. And I think Jesus would say that to us about self-control and the fruit of the Spirit, is that there's one thing. If you want this fruit to be manifested in your life, there's one thing that you need to do, and that's to turn your attention to me. That's to listen to me. That's to get into my word. That's to spend time in prayer, listening and talking to me. It means to strive, to fight, to know Jesus. It means to strive and to fight, to believe his word. It means to strive and to fight, to trust him, to obey him, to love him. You know, and just like that butterfly that comes, sits softly on our shoulder, it won't wrap us up. It won't bind us up. It won't confine us. It won't hurt us. He won't beat us up. He won't whip us. He won't make us feel deprived and miserable because we're trying to have that self-control that we just cannot have. You know, because Jesus said, my yoke is easy. My burden is light. And he just said, come to me, all who are weary and burdened, and you've tried and you've tried and you've tried everything you know to try to have self-control. He says, and I will give you rest, and I will give you that self-control that you need, but you got to come. You got to come to me. Zechariah 4:6 says, not by might, not by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord. It will only be accomplished by the Spirit of God. And so the question for us this morning is not, how can I have more self-control? It's, how can I know Jesus better? How can I love him more? What do I need to be doing to be growing in my relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, so that as Peter said, hold on to his great and his precious promises, I begin to share in his divine nature. You know, we become like who we hang out with. And if we are hanging out with Jesus, we're going to start looking like him. Let's pray. Father, we just thank you that it is not by might, it is not by power, but it is by your Spirit. But Lord, you know us. You know that we want to do it by ourselves, and we are stubborn people, and we are forgetful people, and we are lazy people. And so, Lord, I just pray for your mercy for each person that is here this morning. I pray for mercy. I pray for grace, and I pray for the power of your Holy Spirit, Lord, to convict us of what we need to do that we are not doing, to convict us of the things that we need to set aside so that we can seek you more, Jesus. I pray for a moving of your Spirit in this place, in this church, in each of our lives, in our home. Lord, I pray that you would draw us to seek your face, that as we go throughout our day, each day in the days ahead, that your Spirit would turn our eyes to you. Lord, I pray that small groups and Bible studies would pop out up all over this place, that we would all be engaged in the study of your word and in fellowship with one another. Lord, we just ask you to send your Spirit to move mightily among us and to bring revival to this place, and that it would spread throughout this community. Lord, teach us. Help us, we pray. We love you. We want you. Forgive us for our sins. And Lord, fill us with the fruit of your Spirit that is self-control, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.